Proverbs 22 and verse 6. I think this is something that we have been doing over the last few weeks. We will move away from this passage, but it still reminds us of the training that God wants us to give to our children. Let's read together Proverbs 22, verse 6. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we are thankful for the light from heaven with regards to our families, with regards to how we need to train up our children, Lord, in the ways of God. Father, many people in society are falling away from the truth. Many families, even Christian families, Lord, are broken up simply because they are not listening. Oh, Father, there's a difficulty in listening to the Word of God in that family. Lord, we have the privilege of being in your presence now, hearing the Word of God. And I pray for everyone who will be attentive, the Lord, that you will change their hearts to become more and more like Christ. The Lord, for the parents that will hear this Word, their lives will be rededicated to you in change, if need be, that, Lord, you might guide them. For a child that may not have these habits in their lives, Father, I pray that they will be willing to allow themselves to be led by your word once again. At the end of the day, Father, we want the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up. The Lord, as we, your people, become like you, the light of Jesus Christ can be spread out. We thank you for people who have, for our Singaporeans. We thank you for our Filipino brethren who have come specially, Lord, to worship together with us. We pray even from people from Taiwan and Chinese people who can only understand Mandarin to come. I pray when they leave this place, the love of Christ, they will bring the love of Christ to wherever they will go, whether it's back home, whether it's to their own homes, whether it's back to the home country. Father, I pray the word of God will just be embedded in our hearts so that whoever we meet, Lord, we can give your love, give your word, give your light that will lead these people to the salvation that you want them to have. So, Father, for this half an hour, 45 minutes or so, commit this time into your hands. Still our hearts, remove every distraction, help us to focus. May thy Holy Spirit be our teacher. In the Lord, name of the Lord Jesus be exalted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Okay. All right, for those who just joined us this week, this is actually Habits of Life Training Part 2. All right, we want to actually look at the training of the habits of a child. Okay? Now, some people may just say, oh, this is training for children, so it's not relevant to me. Well, as you go along, you'll find out there are many Bible verses, there are many principles in the Bible that even for ourselves, if we have not received that, that we need to actually ask God to help us achieve that. Okay? By way of introduction, just a recap of what we learned last week. Our habit, we need to instruct our children in the knowledge of the Word of God. And we made it very clear that everyone, adults, children alike, teenagers alike, we need the light of God in our lives. And so if children growing up, there are many children today who grow up who do not even know who Jesus is. You know, it's one of the saddest things. I shared with you before, I share it again. In Singapore, of over 600 churches, there are still people who have never heard the gospel one time. You know, to me, that is sad. Singapore is not big. With the reclaimed land, we probably have about 700 square kilometers. And in that, for every square kilometer, we have one church. We have over 600 churches in Singapore. And yet, there are still people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ one time. And that is something. Do you realize, some of you may look at our bulletin, our vision is to reach the north for Christ. Do you know how many people are there in the north? 500,000 people. 500,000 people. Marsiling, Yishun, Woodlands, Sembawang alone has over 500,000 people. In Singapore, we are able to pack a lot of people into a small square kilometer. But you realize, even as a church, our vision is to reach 500,000 people. Many people have heard of Ambassador. We thank God for that. But we need them to come to Christ. That is the goal. All right, hearing of us doesn't save them. Receiving Christ does. And so we need to realize that every child needs to know the Word of God. Children, if you are in a Christian family, you are in a privileged position. I say again. Children, if you are in a Christian family, you are in a privileged position because there are many people who will never hear the Word of God in this life. Would you agree with that? I was one man, I was with a missionary family in a small island in China, and he was just bringing me around, and suddenly in front of us, we saw some commotion, there's some policemen, and then as we were driving slowly, not like Singapore, it's quite kipo, you know, kipo, busybody, when there's accident, all the traffic suddenly got jammed. Not because, it's because everyone slowed down to say, wow. And what happened, there was this about 60, 70-year-old man whose head was crushed under a truck against a tree in the land of China. So I was talking to my friend, the missionary friend, and said, look, this person in a communist country, born in a communist country for 70 years, have never heard the name of Christ, just died and went to hell. Children, you realize how privileged you are to be in a church, to hear the Word of God that is able to bring life. And parents, we need to teach them the Word of God so that they will have a foundation for their life, number one. Number two, we need to teach our children the habit of praying. We need to teach our children the habit of praying, okay? Because Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, teach me to pray. And we need to teach our children to pray too. We need to teach our children to have a habit of attending spiritual meetings, okay? Every time, can I encourage children, teenagers, when your parents have a heart to say, hey, there's a meeting, we are going, your first response should be, yes, mom, we'll go. Yes, dad, we'll go. We need that habit because every time you go there, God can speak to that heart. And you must be willing to do that, okay? And then finally, at least last week, point number four, we need to train our children to have a habit of faith, to trust in God, okay? Today, we hope you're ready for the next five, okay? It's not four, it's five, okay? Five other habits that we need to learn and teach our children. All right, in the Word of God, okay? Now, point number five, we need to train our children up to a habit of obedience. Obedience, okay? Obedience. Let me just begin by illustrating why obedience is so important. And you will find that the principle of obedience is important for all of us as Christians. Let me ask you, how did men fall into sin? How did men fall into sin? Adam and Eve chose to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Okay, that is disobedience because it is clearly revealed from God. God told Adam and Eve, do not take that fruit. Question for you, is it wrong to eat fruit? Is it wrong to eat fruit? How many? In fact, in Singapore, it's not just burgers and french fries and vegetables. We need to eat fruit. It's interesting, when God made man, it's fruit, vegetables, and seeds. Seeds. It's very healthy, all right? The sunflower seed and all kinds of seeds. Now you know why the organic industry has a lot of seeds. You know why in the Bible? Okay, of the herb-bearing seed will be given to you for food. God already intended that in the first place to keep the health of the people. Why? Because it gives you roughage to help you to empty your internals, if you understand what I mean. All right? That's fiber. But you know, when God sanctioned food, animal food for us, just to provide for the people, but eating a fruit is not a sin. But why did Adam and Eve fall into sin when they ate the fruit? They did not just eat the fruit, they disobeyed. You want to follow through the fill in the blanks? The reason why Adam and Eve fell is because they disobeyed the express will of God. And God is a source of authority. And that's the reason why man is in the condition he is in today. Parents have what we call delegated authority. God is the source of authority. Parents, from God, we have what we call delegated authority. God gives us the authority as parents to train our children. Okay? And therefore, the parent have the authority to enforce the instruction, whether by warning, by rebuke, or by chastisement. God gives this to the parents in order to help the parent to train up their children in the way of God. So in the home, when there's an instruction given by an authority, usually the parent, what would be the proper response to the instruction? Children, let's say if your parent gives you an instruction, what would be the proper response to that? It is obedience. Okay? If we do not do as we've been instructed, and this is tough, the Bible calls it sin. Disobedience in the sight of God is sin. You know, as I was preparing this message, humanly speaking, I don't listen to anyone telling it's sin. According to the scriptures, the entire mankind fell because Adam did not listen to what God said. Because once you start disobeying, you know what happens? You begin to break fellowship. I don't have to listen to you. Who becomes the authority after that? Me. I don't want to eat, I don't want to drink, I don't want to do what you want me to do. When disobedience sets in, parents, you will have a hard time. If you're a Christian today, if disobedience sets in your life between you and God, your relationship is affected. God's heart is broken. Why? Because God, out of love, sometimes tells us to do some things that it might be hard, but in the instruction of God, He wants us to obey Him so that we can have His best. And sometimes, when parents ask us to do, it may not be what we want to do, but if it's good for us, when we obey, we grow. Okay? So it's very important. Any violation of the word of God given by the authority is sin. 1 John 3:4. Sin is the transgression of the law. Okay? Now, this is very important. Some children may be a little bit more articulate. They can negotiate. Why should I listen to my dad? Why should I listen to my mom? They also don't do what? They also don't obey what? Why should I listen to them? There's a difference in the scriptures about transgression and iniquity. Okay? When I went to another country, I drove. The speed limit is 90, for example. If I go 120, if I didn't have the intention of breaking the rule, but I went 120 on a 90 kilometer per hour road, am I guilty? I'm guilty. But, I didn't intend to, you know. I'm sorry. You may not have the intention, but you broke the rule. It's 90, it's not 120. That's called a transgression. When you broke a rule without the intention. Question for you. I shared this before. Did Adam and Eve have the intention of rebellion against God? No. All they did was not eat, or was to eat the fruit God said, don't eat. That was sin. That's why 1 John 3:4 says, sin is the transgression of the law. Okay? The problem with the transgression is because of the transgression, the heart became corrupted. In Genesis chapter 6, then the imagination of the heart became evil continually. And then that became the iniquity. The iniquity is the intention to sin that leads to the transgression. Does that make sense? So sometimes our children may transgress. Let's say, for example, dad asks you, please do your homework, I don't want. Maybe in their mind they didn't intend to disobey dad, but because they didn't obey dad in the instruction, they have broken the law. That's wrong, and that's disobedience. You know what? If they keep doing that, you know what's going to happen? They're going to have a heart of disobedience later on, and you're going to have a problem. That's why many teenagers rebel when they come to teenage years. Because parents, perhaps we have not trained them to obey God and parental instructions from the beginning. Small infringement become big problems next time. Song of Solomon chapter 1 talks about the little foxes that comes into the vineyard and spoil the vine. All it takes is one little fox to go into the vineyard and start biting the grapes. The entire vineyard can be destroyed. The Bible says sin, a little sin, leaveneth the whole lump. If we allow small disobedience, parents, in our families, it can become big ones. And you will have a big problem next time. We need to train our children in the habit of obeying. Now, what does that mean? Children, when we do not do an instruction given by the parent, you become the authority. Let me just give you an illustration. How many of you, when you look at a family, knows who is in charge of the family? I say there's a mom, there's a dad, then there's a male child and a female child. Okay? And let's say, in this family, everyone says, okay, let's go for dinner. Come, let's go to some place. Let's go to Manhattan Fish Market. Then I would say, no lah, No good. Let's go KFC. Then all the parents say, okay, let's go KFC. Who's the leader? Let's say the little girl says, let's go KFC. So who's the leader in the family? The little girl. Right? Right? Or maybe the son said, no. Cannot go Manhattan. Cannot go KFC. Must go Manhattan Fish. Okay? Then there's a fight of authority. But where's the parents in all this? You know what we'll do? Hey, can you all make up your mind or not? Whose decision should it be? Parents. Who's in charge of their home? Not the mom and dad. I've seen it so many times. I think you have too. Who's in charge of the family? This is so important. You know why? When the child cannot even listen to the dad, how is he supposed to listen to the Heavenly Father, whom he cannot see? Okay, once again, we need to be very clear that parents, we as authority, reflect the character of God in a family. Our children learn who God is from how we respond. And that's a very important principle. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, it's in your verses, and Samuel said, had the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as it's obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Prophet Samuel was very clear with King Saul. Did King Saul do some of the commandment of the Lord? Did he kill some of the Amalekites? Yes, he did. But God wasn't happy with that. You know why? It's not that God was very nitpicking. God says destroy the entire culture. Please understand this. Many atheists use this and say, God is an unloving, harsh, cruel God. But when you understand, do you realize how long God tolerated the Amalekites? From the book of Genesis chapter 15, God said, I'm going to destroy these people. From Genesis. From the time God said to the time he actually did it was how many years? 400 years of tolerating the nonsense of the Amalekites. They were killing, they were doing child sacrifices, they were doing all kinds of things, and they were just cruel people. After 400 years, God told Prophet Samuel, tell King Saul, enough is enough. I've got to stop this. Think, if you think the king of Amalekite, think of Hitler. Would you want to stop Hitler? Would you want to stop Hitler for what he did? Yes, you do. That's exactly what God did with the culture of the Amalekites. I have to stop this to stop the sin that's going on. So God told King Saul, please, Samuel, destroy this culture. Of course, King Saul said, well, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. Then King Samuel said, what do you hear this bleating of these calves? And how come there's still animals going around? God says, destroy everything, including animals. Everything. I don't want. God said, I don't want anything left over from this culture because of their sin. And later on, King Saul was saying, look, I've done God's will. What King Saul did? King Saul's obedience was partial obedience. And partial obedience, are you listening, children? And for even all of us, partial obedience to the will of God is disobedience in the sight of God. When our parents tell us to do two things, we do only one. That's partial obedience. That's actually disobedience. Be very clear. You know, for King Saul, you know what happened to him? He lost his kingdom that day. He lost his kingdom that day. Partial obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is also disobedience. How do I know that? Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 40 to 42. In the book of Numbers, God wanted the children of Israel to go and grab the promised land, right? 12 men went to spy out Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. Joshua and Caleb says, we are well able, if God be with us, to go in. But the 10 says, no. The land is good. The grapes are huge. You know, they needed 2 people to carry the whole bunch of grapes. It's not like you go to the market and buy a bunch of grapes for $7 one kilo. Okay? The bunch of grapes, it's not like basketballs. Some people think the grapes are, no, it's like small tennis balls. The grapes of Eshkol. They needed 2 people to carry. You know what the 10 people say? Oh, the land was wonderful, full of all this goodness. But we cannot go in. Because why? The Philistines are like giants. But Joshua and Caleb says, yes, we can. God is with us. We'll go in and get it. But that day, of course, God says no, since the whole nation of Israel was discouraged and wanted to kill Moses and Aaron. What happened? God says, all right, if you don't want to go in, you're not going in. The next day, the people said, now we need to go in. After they saw the people died, Now we want to go in. Moses says, don't. God's not with you anymore. God says to do it now. They didn't want to. They saw the consequences. Now they want to do it. It's delayed obedience in the sight of God. It's disobedience. And as a result of that, the children of Israel had to wander 40 long years in the wilderness. When our children delay to obey us, parents, we need to be very careful. Of course, there are certain strategies you can use. But when the children disobey us, is it because they are sick, they don't understand, or they don't listen? But if they choose not to do what as parents we ask them to do, we can build that disobedience over time. And when God asks them to move, they don't only move. And you know what? They might just be wandering in the wilderness. And I say many teenagers are wandering in the wilderness of their own self-will today. You know how I know? You go to North Point, you go to the malls, you go to in the Philippines, the malls, there are many teenagers just loitering. You know what they're doing? Rather than being guided by their families, they're loitering. Why? No direction for their life. Would to God that no one, no child in this church hearing this message after this will loiter because you're wasting your life. There's no direction. Why? You know, if you just obey what God said, the parents will just teach the children that there are certain jobs the children need to do. For example, study hard, help around the house, serve. You know, their life will be meaningful. Rather than, what do you gain by looking at the things in North Point? What do you gain? You actually get more coverages. You want this, you want this. Be very careful. Obedience ought to be, I'll just finish the verse in Numbers chapter 14, verse 40 and 41. And they rose up early in the morning and get them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up unto the place which the Lord had promised, for we have sinned. Moses said, wherefore now do we transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. This was an instruction. Moses says, don't go. You are going to die. Was it an instruction? But you know what? In the disobedience of the children of Israel, they went. They disobeyed their spiritual leader. Guess what happened that day? They were wiped out by the enemies for 40 long years after that. Make a calculation. Do you know how many funerals a day for 40 years the children of Israel witnessed? 2 million people died in the wilderness for 40 years. You calculate, how many funerals is it? Is it about 50,000 people died a year? A month? There were about 4,000 funerals a month. How many funerals do you think they witnessed a day? Think about that. Of course, maybe God may destroy great groups of people at one time, but if you really calculate proportion, that every day the children of Israel witnessed the consequences of their disobedience over 100 times, when Israelites upon Israelites had to attend funerals because of the death or for disobedience. Make no mistake, when you disobey what God says, children, when you disobey what your parents says, you are preparing yourself to disobey God next time. Please understand this. That's why we need to teach our children to obey the parents. Obedience ought to be immediate. You can write it down. Obedience ought to be immediate, cheerful, willing, complete. Obedience to parents into God ought to be immediate, cheerful, willing, complete. I'll give you an example there. Mom comes and says, can you please clean up your room? Okay? The answer should be, children, I'll give you the model answer for life. Are you listening, Adam? Model answer of how you need to respond to your mom in there. Okay, children, are you listening? Please don't fall asleep. This is model answer. In exams, you've got 10-year series and model answer, right? So I'll give you model answer how you ensure that you are in line with God's word. Answer is number one. If mom says, can you please clean up your room? Actually, mom should just say, please clean up your room. You know, children can say no. Okay? First thing, sure, mom, I will do it right now. That's immediate. In other words, you may play a computer game, you shut down your computer game, you go and do it. Okay? Well, of course, if he's doing something important, like maybe bathing, or then you let him finish, or tying his shoe later. But if mom says, can you please clean up your room? Sure, mom, I'll do it right now, immediate. And children, as you sing, as you clean the room, that's cheerful. Okay? Child does it without being told, without complaining, he's willing. And then children includes packing the rooms. Cleaning the room means he'll pack things back into their rightful places. He clears the basket, sweeps the floor, maybe even mop the floor, clean the aircon, you know, wash the window grill. And then she comes and tells mom and says she's done it. Complete. You know what children do? Clean the room. Okay, I'll clean all. I'll clean already. Yes? The Lord Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. From young, our children ought to be taught to finish the task and do the best to their ability so that they can do their best for God next time. Okay? Determined to train your heart to obey you. Sometimes it may be hard for different children, but we still have to do it. I say, if you do not obey us, what makes us think that we will obey? They will obey the Lord next time. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie not again. Samuel was a little boy in the temple. The moment he heard the Lord, he thought Eli called him, which was a high priest. So the moment he heard, he jumped up from his sleep. How many children have difficulty waking up from sleep? When the mom says, hey, son, go to school already. You know what? Not Samuel. Samuel, the moment he hear, hey, Eli, you call me. No, I didn't call you. Go and sleep. 3 times he heard the voice of the Lord. 3 times he came. Parents, we need to be able to train our children to that point. What do you mean? There was one time, I think I used my children. Jeremiah had a cut one time at the playground. And it was really funny if you are there. Joanna and Jara were kind of what, 2, 3 years old at that time. So Jeremiah had this cut. And now he's big already. So then somewhere, when I saw that cut, it's like this big gaping hole. I said, Joanna and Jara, get in the van. Then they ran and sort of sit there. And after I just, for me, I rushed Jeremiah to the KK hospital and the A&E. I said, Jeremiah was being attended to, but the they had the triage, the nurses and doctors and all that. So he was being attended to. So I said, Joanna and Jara, you sit down there. Then I went to park down KK and come out. Then the nurse said, hey, your children never move. You know, in that kind of emergency situation, I need my children to listen to me. Otherwise, you'll run around the playground and go around and come find them. Can I say this? In the time of crisis, in the time that you need your children to obey you, would they do that? It's part of training. I'm not saying I'm the best. Hopefully, I'm giving an illustration that your child can be trained. But parents, we need to determine in our hearts to train. Okay? Why is there disobedience in children? Maybe I'll give you some insight. Number one, because parents are in conflict about what should be obeyed and what is not. If dad says yes, mom says no, children will say, you guys cannot decide, I decide for you. Okay? Parents give instruction without enforcing. Don't eat, huh? You cannot eat that one, huh? And the children eat. Ah, yeah, you never listen to me one. And the children, and the next day, the same thing. Giving instruction without enforcing. Parents give instruction, warn, threaten, but they don't enforce. You do it, I'll cane you, after that, forget. The children will learn, it's a pianfong, wind that comes by the ear. You know? You say no parking, no. There's no weight to that. Parents give unrealistic expectations. I can't do it. Parents are inconsistent with their enforcement. Sometimes they spank, sometimes they, oh, sayang. You know? Especially when children do wrong. Parents enforce obedience without grace, love, and encouragement. Can I say this? Some parents take spanking to the point, I'll whack you. But after that, they don't actually love the child again. They don't pray with the child. They don't show that child and explain to the child, you know why I had to spank you? It's because God said this and I need you to understand this. Parents, because can I say, when we discipline our children out of anger to get them to obey, you only breed rebellion. Because they see themselves being disciplined, but they don't see the grace of God later on. Whereby they understand they've broken God's law. But parents, as a figure of God's authority, comes and say, you've broken God's law. I've dealt with you. Let's restore. Okay, do you understand you've done wrong? And after that, the grace and the love need to continue with the child. Otherwise, the child will be bitter in their hearts. Okay? May I say this? The reason why we want them to practice obedience is not just to practice acts of obedience, but to develop a heart of love for obedience. The way to develop that love for obedience, parents, is to develop a close, loving, biblically based relationship with your children. Sometimes parents are too busy for their children. They want them to obey, but they don't have time for them. They don't have opportunity to interact with them. The children are just left to themselves. It must be a biblically based, loving relationship with them. That when they are in trouble, the first person they go to is you. Children, can I say this? If you're in trouble, can I say this? Don't go to your friends. Go to your parents. You know why? Your friends will give you instruction that will cause you to hide more from your parents. Don't tell your dad. And usually the world has this mentality. But you know what God says? Go back to your mom and dad who love you. You may have done the biggest mistake or problem. Or maybe the police came. Your parents may have a broken heart, but because they love you, they will still want the best for you. Please don't go to your friends who will only drive you further away from God, further away from your parents, further away from what God says. Can I just advise you on that? Yeah, your parents may spank you. At least you still get to stay in the house. Right? Or would you rather stay outside in a friend's house or on the streets? At least your parents hit you, you still get food to eat. You still got heater to bathe. Think rationally. The devil wants you to join your friends so that he can keep taking you down the wrong road. Obey your parents, go back to them. Okay? But parents, we need to be consistent. We need to be consistent. Point number six. Okay, first one, train our children in the habit of obedience. Number two, train up the child to a habit of always speaking the truth. Always speaking the truth. The Bible teaches us, Exodus 20:16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Lying is a sin in whatever color it is. Can be white, can be purple, can be... Lying is a sin, full stop. God is a God of truth. There is no shadow of turning with Him. We need to teach our children like that. Because God gave the instruction to every believer, be holy, for I am holy. When God says I'm holy, He means I'm holy, I'm set apart. No dirt, no sin can ever touch me. And as a result, when God says thou shalt not lie, lying is a sin. Because lying reflects the character of who? Satan. He is the father of lies. When we can lie, it means we still have the character of Satan, or rather we reflect the character of Satan. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said, ye are your father the devil, and he is the father of lies. He's a lie from the beginning, and he's the father of lies. Mark it down, children, when you tell lies to your parents, you are reflecting the character of Satan. Adults as well, when we lie in whatever way, shape or form, we are reflecting the character of Satan. God doesn't want that. Our God is a God of truth. God of truth. Our children need to learn from young to verbalize the truth. How do they do it? Number one, by example. If as parents we are not going to speak the truth, our parents will certainly learn from that. It's a very typical one whereby some parents may ask their children, when the phone comes, you know, what do the parents say? If he's that person, tell him I'm not in. And then this child will say, my mama tell me to tell you that he's not in. What does the child learn? And sometimes it's, let's put it this way, it's not easy. I know we live with other, but you know, if you want a child to learn the truth, that means that parents, we need to deal with that person. Does that make sense? So that you don't have to lie to your child. And I say this, your child is more important than being a messenger of our lives. I'm not saying you are doing it, but I think you understand what I'm saying. When we are inconsistent with our own lives, our children see that, guess what? They will pick it up. They will pick it up. And you know what? They think it's okay. Because if mom and dad does it, she'll be okay. Why is it that some children with parents who smoke, the child also smoke? Because they've seen their mom and dad do it. Can I say this? If you are in a non-Christian home and you see some habits that are not in line with Scripture, pray for your parents. And follow what God says. And perhaps God can use you to to change them, all right? So number one, by your example. Number two, by open communication. Open communication. When you catch your child not telling the truth, which sometimes we do, I won't say who does that. But you know what? Sometimes we do. We catch our children not telling the truth. What is our immediate reaction? Sometimes we, how dare you lie to me? And we give it to them. You know what happened the next time? What happened to the next time? You say, how dare you? And then the parents will give it to them. Because what do you think, when the next time the child have to decide between telling truth and telling the lie, what do you think he will do? If he knows your response will be to, you, they will be the punching bag. What do you think they will do? They will generally not tell the truth. Why? Because of fear. It's not because they don't want to. But parents, many times, what we do to our children sometimes causes them to decide, okay, last time I told the truth, I was whacked upside down. Why should I go through that again? Children, that's a simple way. Self-protection. It's all about self. So next time, I'll just cover up. And some children become professional liars at a young age simply because of the responses. There was this particular parent who was sharing that, for example, have you ever heard your child said to you, I didn't want to tell you the truth because I was afraid. That's actually a warning bell for us as parents. This is very, because children don't want to be, children need to be loved, right? Okay, so shy. Children do need to be loved. And of course, in Sunday school, we love our children. But we cannot condone sin. How does God deal with the sinner in the Bible? Let me ask you, how does God the Father deal with the sinner in the Bible? How does God deal with sin in the Bible? How did the Lord Jesus deal with the lady caught in adultery? Don't be shy. You forgave? Okay, go and sin no more. Okay, that situation was a little bit tricky because Jesus had to deal with two groups of people. One is a sinner, one is the Pharisees, one to actually catch him. The Lord Jesus used it as a situation. And the people said, are you going to condemn him? According to Moses' law, you should. And Jesus started to say, any one of you who have no sin, please throw the first stone. Parents, we need to realize, firstly, maybe in that situation, we need to think, what the children is doing, is it because I've taught them? Is it by my example they're behaving this way? Number one. That doesn't mean that some parents will go now, okay, because I taught them, I shouldn't punish them. That's wrong. And firstly, you need to repent before God and then still teach your child. That's not the right thing to do in the sight of God. Okay? So if in the how the Lord Jesus dealt with this lady, with grace, mercies, but also very stern, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Some people have said, how come the Lord Jesus Christ can let him go, let her go so easily? Question for you, do you think the lady went back to her adultery? After that forgiveness? No. But how come Jesus can let her go? Because Jesus was going to pay for that sin. Jesus was going to the cross for her. That's why she can tell her, go and sin no more. Can I say this, children? When you disobey your parents, you break your parents' heart. Because your parents loves you. But you know what? As parents, when we see that, we cannot put our emotions at that. I'll get you, you're good. It doesn't help the child. You know what I need? You need God's love, God's mercy and grace to deal with the child. Be firm, be fair, but be loving and gracious as well. God deals with us in a gracious way. We are not allowed, parents, to choose our own way to discipline our children. We need to follow what God says. If it's going to be the rod, then it's with the rod. If your child is the first time, or maybe she didn't know, then say, okay, I'm telling you right now, I don't expect it to happen again. Firmness, so that your child will know that I must never do that again. Okay? So, but open communication simply means the child needs to know that when he tells you that he has a mom and dad who loves him enough that he wants to work through the problem. All right, I'll give you an example. There was one time this lady was sharing, I was just reading some blogs about some parents, and she said, the day my daughter told me I was not going to, the daughter told the parent, I was not going to tell you about this problem, but then the daughter said, but then I realized that while you would be unhappy with me, you would spank me, you would also help me to fix it, and you would still love me. And so I knew I could tell you. Because I know even though I may hurt for a while, you may not be happy with me, you may spank me, but I know mom and dad, you will still help me work through it because you still love me. You know, your child needs to be able to think in this way, whereby God, I'm coming back to you, I've sinned again. Remember the prodigal son? Why am I in this situation? My father have more, the servants are better fed than me. Why am I doing this? I need to go back to my father. I've sinned against God, I've sinned against my father, I'm going home. Parents, we must not create a situation whereby children want to leave the home because of our lack of the expression of the love of Christ as a dear of our child. Open communication. Parents, sometimes we may be angry for the wrong reasons. Then we have to say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't expect you. I'm wrong. Sometimes we get, maybe our work, we're tired, our children break something and we give it to him. And we need, sometimes the child may be at the side. You know, some children are very sensitive. They just don't tell you. They stay at the side. You know what you need to do? When you see your child quiet and not talking to you, that's a warning sign. Parents, are you listening? When your child is not talking to you and they choose to go to a side, that's a warning sign. You better ask God for wisdom and go to your child. Something that you need to tell mommy and daddy, just bring out for coffee. You know, bring out coffee. Bring out for Milo. You know, sit down and bring them to a place so that you can talk it out. Open communication. There was one lady, she's 26 years old, I think I shared before. She was fervent, she was serving the Lord as a teenager, she was doing all her best for God. Now she's freelance, she considers herself an atheist, 25 years old freelancer, and the reason why she says she's not a Christian anymore, so-called, she says because when I had problems as a teenager and I asked questions, no one bothered to take time to answer those questions for me. As moms, you need to know God's word so that you can direct your child back to the Savior in whatever situation they may be in. We are losing a whole generation of Christian children simply because mom and dad think their careers are more important than the soul of their child. We need to teach our children. We need to have open communication with them. Speak to them. Teach them. Tell them your heart. If you're wrong, you're wrong. You're not perfect. But we need to teach our child to always speak the truth. And the way to help them is to be open. Okay? And we need to be reinforcing that with an effective, supportive environment whereby when you go to church, that's why our Sunday school teachers, we have given them instruction in a certain way they need to teach, only teach the Bible. Don't bring other things, there will be a wrong influences. If there are other people coming out, they need to manage that. Why? Because their children, their parents were entrusting their children to be taught. By the way, can I say this? I'm not putting all the responsibility on the Sunday school teachers because they are not responsible to bring up your kids. You are parents. I say this again. Parents, you are number one responsibility. It's your responsibility to bring up, not the Sunday school teachers. They are here to give you some programs to help the family. It's the responsibility of the parents to bring up the child. And I would implore the parents to work with the Sunday school teachers to inform them so that when they give you feedback, chase them away. You know, your teachers see a different side and they work together, and hopefully Ambassador will work together as a church to bring out our children for the Lord, all right? I need to move a bit faster. Point number 7, train up a child to a habit of work. Work. Yes, children, work. I don't want to work. We need to train our children to do work. But Brother Johnny, the job of a child is to play. That's what the theories say, Do you realize that in the olden days, not olden days, in the farms and all that, children are all taught to work. Work. Yeah, they get time to play, but primarily they have to be taught to work. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. This is what the scriptures teach. For even when we were with you, this is what the Bible says. This we commanded you. Children, are you listening? It's important. If any would not work, neither should he eat. 我做工卖家. What do you say in Tagalog? If you don't work, you don't eat. You don't know. The Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. This is apostolic instruction. Every Jewish child is taught the Old Testament. But it is according to the Torah, which is a Jewish law, every family, every dad is supposed to teach the son a skill. Maybe it's carpentry or farming or something. They have to learn to do work. Okay? Amen? I see some parents smiling already. Yes. Amen. Now I don't get to do the dishes. John 5:17, Jesus' example, my Father worketh hitherto, it means up to now, and I work too. You know what Jesus says? Do you realize God the Father doesn't lie down and just sit on his throne and do nothing? He is always active. He's always active in our life. God the Father works. Jesus says, as his Son of God, I work too. How do I train up my child to work? First, by example. The parents' attitude towards work will in a large part affect the attitude of the child. Do I find excuse for shirking my responsibilities, whether it's working at home or even a day's work? Let us strive to do what our hands find to do with a song in our hearts, and our children will follow example. Okay, children need to learn to work. Number one, first by example. How do I train my child to work? First by example. Secondly, give them work to do. Quite interesting because there's this... Okay, now I'll give them work to do. Okay, it's quite straightforward. Let me explain it. Ensure completion. If you give a job to your child to do, make sure they finish it. It's not always possible to find happiness in our work as children or as adults. Amen? Sometimes you may not enjoy your work. Maybe it's because of colleagues. Usually work is okay. It's the colleagues around you. And it becomes a grind. But work, can I say, actually work is supposed to be enjoyable when God created it. By the way, God made work before sin fell, before sin. Man had to work. And work was actually supposed to be enjoyable, amen? Only one person. Work is supposed to be enjoyable before the fall. But God cursed work because of sin, okay? All right? So, but you know what? You still have to work, okay? So, work is supposed to be enjoyable. But you know what? When a child works, you know, because of laziness, they come because of sin, Sometimes we're not able, the child may not want to complete that work. Some things just have to be done. The habit of seeing a job through to its completion is an extremely valuable thing to a child. If you can teach your child to start a work and to finish it, your child will learn a very important skill for the rest of his life. They say, I will not give up, I will push through. The Lord Jesus Christ was an example. At the cross, he said what? It is finished. Whatever God asked me to do, I finished it. Praise should only be given after a job is completed and done well. Of course, you encourage the process as well. Okay, this is an important principle. Don't do for your child what he can do for himself. If he can keep his shoes, let him keep. I must say, sometimes I break this rule. You know, sometimes you just want to get things done, right? And then the child is, children, if you can do it, do it. Okay, if it's your job to do it, you can do it. Little children can also pack things, can pick up their dinosaur and put it inside the box. They can do that. Okay, they can take the cup and walk to the sink. Nah, ma. Okay, you can give to the parents as well. Don't do for them what they can do themselves. I have seen one child, 4 years old. He was at the clinic one time and she did this. The little boy did this. He sat on the floor and did this. He put his leg up. I was wondering what he was doing. Then I realized, then the maid came. Wear the shoes. So being a therapist, I said, sorry, can you please, you wear your shoes yourself. If a child can wear the shoes, get him to wear the shoes. Okay, because you're teaching him the habit of working. Our children need to learn to work because it will affect their lives next time. And point number 8, train up a child to a habit of redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Colossians 4 verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. All of us, including children, are given 24 hours. Children need to know they make full use of that 24 hours. Parents, any one of us, even as Christians, do you realize on a daily basis God gives you a 24-hour check? Blank check from heaven, 24 hours. What you do with it will store your treasures in heaven. If you waste it, then you get nothing in heaven. But as a believer, you use it wisely, and you will be storing up your treasures in heaven. John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me what it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Some statements that for us to think about, why we need to teach a child to redeem the time. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. I'm very concerned when children loiter around. I'm very concerned when you see children are just sitting around, especially those last time when we were very old, I don't even remember the Centrepoint kids. Remember Centrepoint kids in Singapore? Whereby Centrepoint, McDonald's just came and Centrepoint was there and all the school people will congregate there. Centrepoint kids, they just sit there and loiter, waste their time. Okay, in North Point, you see a lot of these students after school. They sit down on the corridor ways of North Point, and just sit down and just loiter their time and just play games, all that. Do you realize that 100 years ago, listen to this, when you're caught loitering, you know what's loitering? Aimlessly walking around the street is 10 years in prison. Are you listening? In New England, if you're fined 150 years ago, if you're found loitering around the streets, you are put in jail for 10 years. For girls, if you're found loitering, you're put in jail for 10 years, when Mother Superior, the Catholic nun, will teach you how to sew, will teach you how to cook in the prison for the male prisoners, to teach you how to be hardworking. That was 150 years ago. Today, many children stay at home, computer games. Home becomes a place of play. So that's why when they go out, they don't want to work as well. We need to be very careful. We need to train our children to a habit of redeeming the time. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. The devil keeps school for the idle. If your child has nothing to do, so-called, and as parents say, you shove them the iPad, you shove them the computer, and you expect them to be godly, it's not going to happen. Encourage your child to be always doing something, whether playing, let them play heartily, whether doing work, let it do it with all their might. Never allow a moment where a child is merely sitting down and staring into space. Don't waste time. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you look at his life, he's always busy doing something. Example, helping packing the books that are messy in the bookshelf. Now, Rajani, if your child is tired, just let him rest. That's fine. And children go and rest. Don't rest. You know? You won't rest. You get worse. Okay, please. And last point, train up your child in biblical decision making. This is a big point. I'll just give you some key things. In Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This is a very important passage. By faith Moses, when he come to years, what does that mean? When he was old enough. Okay? Parents who maybe have Joseph, Asher, and all these ages, they have not come to years. They have not fully made a decision whether to follow Christ or not. In other words, you still have time. For some of you as teenagers, you are coming to the place that you're going to decide. Are you going to follow the faith of Jesus Christ, which my parents have been trying to teach me? Or am I going to throw it away and follow the ways of the world? You know what's the important thing in that? Moses, when he will come to years, the Bible says by faith, he decided. What did he decide? He doesn't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He doesn't want to follow. He doesn't want to be the product of the world. When he came to a time that he had to make a decision, he said, I don't want the ways of the world. If you study the life of Jochebed and Amram, which is the parents of Moses, you will realize they invested their life in Moses. By faith, they protected Moses from the Pharaoh. It was that faith in the true and living God that finally, when Moses had to make a decision to follow the ways of the world or to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, what did Moses do? When he was come to years, the word refuse there implies a decision. I will not follow the ways of Egypt. I will follow the ways of Yahweh. I will follow the ways which my mom and dad taught me. Mom and dad, 15 years from now, would your child still be trusting God? Would your child be faithfully walking in the footsteps of the Savior? Would your child be opening the Bible with you? Dad, what does this mean? I thought it meant this. Teenagers, don't blame your parents when you can read the Bible for yourself and study. You need to be at a time whereby you can study and say, if God says I shall not lie, then I should not lie. I need to make a decision. Do you realize this is a Christian principle? All of us as Christians need to do that. How do you make your decisions? Is it based on what God says or based on what you feel? What you like? There must come a time. The Bible says by faith Moses, when he came to it, when it was time to make a decision, he says, I'm going to follow Jehovah God. Can I say this? Mom and dad, if you do not have enough money to leave to your parents, to your children, but you leave them with the faith of Jesus Christ, they're okay. Because in Christ, we have everything. Amen? We may not eat as much. We may not go to Swensen's every day or every week. We may even eat just plain porridge and soy sauce. But you know what? The Bible says if you have the fear of God in your life and you have a bowl of porridge with soy sauce, it's better than we have all the things in this world, but you don't have God in your lives. Parents, let me 20 years fast forward for you. Would you rather have a child who loves God, fears Him, obeys the rules, is useful to God, family, and society? Or do you want a PhD who have no fear of God? Who don't care about what rules are? Who will tell a white lie here and there? Oh yeah, he'll give you a few dollars to take care of you in your old age. But someone who only thinks about himself, which would you prefer? Train up a child in the direction you want him to go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Mom and Dad, can I encourage you? God has given us His grace, His mercy, His church, His word, His spirit to guide us. Follow Him. Can I say, if you follow God, God says, train up a child in the direction he should be going. When he's old, he will not depart from it. That's a promise of God. However, if you start wrongly at the wrong direction, your child will head down the wrong direction. Do you know what? If this is a straight way and your child is this way, 20 years later, it will be very hard of you to pull him back. You know what many young people are saying today? I was brought up this way. You can't expect me to change. Mom and Dad, you are the ones who allowed me to go this way. Christians, if you are saying, well, I'm the product of my environment, today is the beginning of the rest of your life. There is repentance, confession. You remember the prodigal son? He threw his life away. He threw his inheritance away. But when he made right with God, God restored everything back to him. But you know what? The prodigal son changed. You know why? His heart was humbled by God. He came back to his dad and said, Dad, I'm not even fit to be called your son anymore. That's genuine repentance. When you repent in your heart and say, God, some of you teenagers need to come to a place and say, why am I going this? Why am I always disobeying my mom and dad? Why am I always not listening? You need to come to a place and say, God, I'm sorry. It's wrong. I need to obey you. Christians, some of you are going down a wrong track. You need to tell God, God, I'm sorry. I need to follow your word once again. I know this about child training. But may everyone here learn to follow God's will in his life. And teenagers and children, as you grow up, when you come to years, you will make a decision. I'm not going to follow the ways of this world. I will follow the faith of my mom and my dad who has been following Jesus Christ. Can I say this? When you make that decision, I'll see you in heaven. Amen.
There is nothing more important, parents, than for us to see our children in front of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Amen. Nothing. It's even more joyful for your son to receive from the Lord Jesus Christ, well done, thou good and faithful son.
Parents, do you have a faith that your child wants? Do you have a faith that your child wants? If you want that to happen, we need to start training them in these habits. Let's pray. Lord, I pray your will be done in the lives of these good people. Father, I know that there are many people here from everywhere. I don't even know them personally. But God, you brought them along our ways. Father, I thank you for this this simple message. I hope it's simple enough to understand, Lord. It's your Holy Spirit that will impress the hearts of these people. But Father, I pray for every child that's listening to this message. Lord, some of them are still growing up, not understanding maybe 50% or 70% of what they hear, and yet they are still busy taking down notes. But Father, I pray that whatever is said, Lord, you will bring back to their memory one day that when it's time to choose whom they will serve, they will choose the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that their lives will be strong in Christ, that their lives will be based on the word of Christ. And Father, the things and the change in their lives will be based on the grace and the character change that Jesus will bring to their lives. That Father, when it's come to age, they will say, I will not be the son of Pharaoh's daughter anymore, because he will take me down a wrong road. But Father, I pray for every mom and dad right now. Perhaps in their hearts, they are heavy in their hearts about certain things. Lord, we're not here to judge, because you sent not your son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Father, we are all guilty because of our sin, but when we come before your Holy Spirit, when we come honestly facing ourselves with your word, Lord, we ask you to identify those areas in our lives that we need to change to become more and more like Christ, so that our children will see a faith that they want in their own lives. There are many things in our lives that are not perfect, Lord. But Father, you know we're not looking for perfection. We're looking of how we can grow step by step into the likeness of Christ. Lord, I'm asking you to do a work in the lives of every mom and dad here. With eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Just want to ask you one question. Number one, have God spoken to us as parents in any way? That God will want you to do something or make some change in your life that you need to. I don't know what it is, but God does. All I want to do as pastor, I don't know your heart, but God does. But I'd like to just pray for you. Is there someone like that who said, Brother Johnny, pray for me, amen. I want to do what God wants. Put up your hand and put it down and pray in your hearts. Whatever decision that God has wanted you to make, you just say, Lord, give me grace. I want to be the type of Christian my child will see and say, I want the faith of dad. Is there someone else? There's two fathers who have put up their hands. Amen, I see that hand too. Is there someone else? Dads or moms, anywhere. Amen, I see that hand. Is there someone else? All right, if you're here, maybe as a Christian, perhaps God has spoken to you in some areas. Maybe some of the habits are not even in your life. You don't read the Bible, you don't pray, but say, God has spoken to my heart. I want to be the type of person God wants me to be. Pastor Chad, you please pray for me. Is there someone like that? You can be a teenager, you can be a young child. Say, I just want to be what God wants me to be. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand. I see that hand too. Amen. Amen, I see that hand. Put it up, put it down in your heart. Lift your heart to God, pray. Is there someone else? I'll just ask one more question. If you are here, you are not a Christian. You know, if you're not a Christian, you will be directed by what you think most of the time, because the Holy Spirit is unable to teach you. But if today you say, Brother Johnny, I need Christ in my life, both to forgive my sin and also for God to lead me as I lead my family. Is there someone who said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I need Christ in my life. We're not going to force you to do anything. We just have a brother or sister share the gospel with you for you to understand and for you yourself as you reflect on God's word to make that decision. Is there someone like that who said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I need Christ in my life. Is there someone like that? Right, let's pray. Father, I pray firstly for the fathers who have put up their hands. Lord, you have put them in a very, very important position. They have children under them. They need absolute leading. Father, just like you led Moses, just like you led Joshua, just like you led the men of old who had families, I pray you will lead these parents to walk in your will, to know your will, to live your will, and to teach your will to the children. Lord, may their lives be a shining light
to their children and their families. Lord, may their lives be the pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud as they walk through the wilderness of this world. They will be able to lead their families safely to the promised land, that every child in their family will not be lost. Lord, I pray specifically that you will protect every child in this church. We have families who are desirous to help, to lead. Lord, I pray that every child will be protected from the things of this world. Every child will be, that their hearts will be given to the Lord Jesus Christ at a young age. That they will do their work in this world to glorify you more than to earn their reputation in this world. Lord, in everything they do, may they live to glorify you. May every child, every teenager, under the direction of their dads who desire to follow you, I pray, Father, that you give them the grace, strength, wisdom they need. That when they search your will in the Word of God, you will help them to see clearly and to have the courage to make the decision they need in order to lead their families for the glory of God. I pray for every mom to follow that, follow the leading of the dad. I pray for every man to be spirit-filled, to fear the Lord, so that mom and dad can work in unison, in unity, to lead their families. Lord, you're coming soon. Time is short. I pray for every dad that you will strengthen them for this task. I pray for every Christian right now who may not have Christian parents, but they are the only Christian in their homes. Oh Lord, how they need additional help. How they need your will and your word to guide them. I pray for every sister, every brother who is sitting down here and saying, I don't have a Christian mom and dad. I don't have so-called a Christian family. That they will see that it is you who set them as lights in that family. That their light will shine, that the mom and dad will begin to see the love of Christ through their deeds, through their words, through their actions, through their kindness, through their life of devotion to you. That their light will shine before men and will draw men to Christ. I pray for everyone who have an unsaved mom, unsaved dad, unsaved loved one, that through their lives, the unsaved loved ones would become saved. Lord, we need your help. But we are willing, Lord, to allow you and submit to you for what you want to do in our lives. Father, thank you for what you're going to do. As we seek our all in you, all we ever need, Lord, is in Christ. And I pray as I sing the closing hymn to anchor these thoughts, I pray your Holy Spirit will guide every dad, mom, child. And I pray also for every child to be willing, Lord, to submit to your working in their lives. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.